All right, here. Hello, everyone. It's on. Can you hear me? Good. Sunshine Statement. This regular meeting of the mayor and council of the borough of Atlantic Highlands is called pursuant to the provisions of the Open Public Meetings Law. Adequate notice has been provided by transmitting the resolution of annual meetings to Asbury Park Press and to the Two River Times by posting it in the borough hall on a bulletin board reserved for such announcements, and by filing it with the municipal clerk on January 3rd, 2022. This agenda is complete to the extent known, and formal action will be taken. Roll call.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes, here.
Ms. Hohenleitner.
Here.
Mr. Dougherty.
Here.
Mr. Crowley.
Here.
Mr. Barakia.
Here.
Mr. Bombs. Mayor Gluckstein.
Here. Please stand now for a moment of silence for our former mayor, Peter Donahue. Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, everyone.
How long does it take to reboot? Don't know.
Just do the police swearing in. Let's just keep going.
We just need another confirmation.
Okay.
Not formal action.
Somebody has one here.
All right. So now I need a motion and a second to approve the previous meeting minutes for March 10th.
Friendly moves.
Dougherty, second.
Roll call.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mr. Barakia.
Yes.
The minutes have been approved.
Okay. So, Resolution 67-2022, Appointment of Police Captain. Whereas, with the March 1st promotion of Captain Scott Reinhardt to Chief of Police, Chief Reinhardt conducted interviews with the current Lieutenant and Sergeants of the Atlantic Highlands Police Department, and whereas, based on results from the promotional process, the governing body, in consultation with Chief Scott Reinhardt, were in agreement that Lieutenant Harry Murtha, who has been a member of the Atlantic Highlands Police Department since 2001, be promoted to the rank of police captain effective March 24th, 2022. And whereas Lieutenant Harry Murtha has been involved with the Atlantic Highlands Police Department since serving as Harbor Security Officer in 1995, a Class 1 Special Officer in 1997, and appointed to patrolman in 2001. He was promoted to sergeant in 2012 and lieutenant in 2021. And whereas Harry graduated from Monmouth County Police Academy, where he received his PTC certification, he graduated from Henry Hudson Regional School and has been a lifelong resident of the borough, where he resides with his wife and his two children. And whereas pursuant to NJSA 40A-60-5G, the mayor nominates Lieutenant Harry Murtha to be promoted to the rank of police captain in Atlantic Highlands Police Department. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the governing body of the borough of Atlantic Highlands, County of Monmouth, State of New Jersey, the nomination of Harry Murtha to the rank of police captain in Atlantic Highlands Police Department is ratified and confirmed, with the effective date of rank being March 24th, 2022. I need a motion and a second.
It's a race.
Roll call.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner.
Yes, congratulations.
Mr. Dockerday.
Congratulations, yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Absolutely.
Mr. Barrafia.
Yes, congratulations.
Resolution 67-2022 has been approved.
There you gotta go slow and then talk loud and have that date.
No, that's good. I can certainly talk loud. Got this? All right. I, Harry Murtha.
I, Harry Murtha.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
To the same and to the governments established.
To the same and to the governments established.
And the United States.
In the United States.
And in this state.
And in this state.
Under the authority of the people.
Under the authority of the people.
And that I will faithfully.
And that I will faithfully.
Impartially and justly.
Impartially and justly.
Perform all the duties of police captain.
Perform all the duties of police captain.
According to the best of my ability, so help me God.
According to the best of my ability, so help me God.
There goes the Zoom.
I just want to say real quick, you know, when I first started, I was kind of new to this town, and I started stopping a lot of cars, and every person who said I went to school with Harry Murtha. This is ridiculous. I got to get my game. So this started, all right, what's his mom doing? All right, dad's name. Next question. Not hard enough. So, you know, I just want to say there's a reason why everyone knows Harry Murtha. Obviously, his parents did a great job raising him. He'll chop his arm off for you if you ask for it. That's the type of guy I wanted to work for me. And I couldn't be happier for him, for his family. And I just want to say congratulations. That's it. You guys all know the interviews I made for Ears Bleed. Days of your lives here. But this is my wife Melissa, my son Harry, my daughter Danica. I just want to say thank you, Chief Reiner. Appreciate it. Thanks to the retired members that paved the way for me and showed me the way to do things. You got me here. I appreciate it. To the greatest group of officers, the most professional guys I ever worked with in my life. I appreciate it. My mom and dad, for raising me right and, you know, showing me community service and everything. My adopted family, I love you. One last thing, Mr. Sweeney, he wasn't here to make it, but I tell you what, the guy gave me a lot of advice as a small kid. Always wear a tie. Don't drink beer, drink cranberry juice. He's looking down, very happy and proud of me right now, so, as well as my grandparents. So, thank you very much, everybody.
This community loves you, Harry.
Absolutely.
I know that. Thank you. Hey.
Thanks,
the talker here. Is there any Soden's family? Somebody in this suburban can kind of head out and get some room for the Soden family.
Okay.
Leading like a captain.
We'll be 1 second.
So. Yeah, no, don't worry about it, Harry.
Folks that are out in the hallway, come on in. And if you're along the wall, come on in and fill in.
Come on in, Cindy. Cindy, Rick. Okay. So now we will be moving on to resolution 68, appointment of sergeant. Whereas a sergeant's position has become available and the police chief and the borough police committee have determined that it would be beneficial to promote a replacement supervisor in the Atlantic Highlands Police Department. And whereas two eligible department members have been competitively tested for the position by the New Jersey State Chiefs of Police Association and have been independently reviewed by the current sergeants and rated by Chief Scott Reinhart. And whereas Police Chief Scott Reinhart recommends that Patrolman Travis Soden, who scored highest out of all department members who tested for the sergeant's position and currently ranks number one overall on the list, be promoted to the rank of sergeant in the Atlantic Highlands Police Department. And Whereas pursuant to NJSA 4060-5G, the mayor nominates Patrolman Travis Soden to be promoted to the rank of sergeant in Atlantic Highlands Police Department. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the governing body of the Borough of Atlantic Highlands, County of Monmouth, State of New Jersey, that the nomination of Travis Soden to the rank of sergeant in Atlantic Highlands Police Department is ratified and confirmed, with the effective date of rank being March 24th, 2022, at the annual salary as set forth in the current contract between Borough and PBA Local 242.
I'll second.
And roll call.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
Ms. Von Leitner?
Yes,
congratulations. Mr. Dougherty?
Yes, congratulations.
Mr. Crowley?
Congratulations, yes.
Mr. Barakia?
Congratulations, yes.
Resolution 68, 2022 has been approved. Yay!
If we were giving out an award for best dress, so we should have done it.
Absolutely.
It'll be
another
first time.
Okay, here you go. I, Travis Soden.
I, Travis Soden.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
To the same and to the government.
To the same and to the government.
Established in the United States.
Established in the United States.
And in this state.
And this state.
Under the authority of the people.
Under the authority of the people.
And that I will faithfully.
And that I will faithfully.
Impartially and justly.
Impartially and justly.
Perform all duties of police sergeant.
Perform all duties of police sergeant.
According to the best of my ability, so help me God.
According to the best of my ability, so help me God. As long as there's no blood, you're successful. That's the standard.
Congrats, man. Just a few words. He's all right. I'll see you guys tonight. I was in on Travis's interview, I don't know how many years ago, but he blew us away right from the beginning. And then it went on for like another 50 minutes. I was like, listen, if this kid doesn't stop talking, I'm about to check on no on the list. Honestly, he brings an energy to the department. Every single shift, he's ready to work, ready to go. He writes his own police blotter. You couldn't tell us all about him. He really does a great job. And looking forward to him passing on his energy to the younger guys and showing what it's all about. Because he's got a lot of experience. He knows what he's doing, and I think he's ready for the next step, I have no doubt. So I'm so happy for you, happy for your family, and couldn't be proud of you. So, yeah.
I just want to thank everybody for coming. Obviously, my wife, my son, my wife Samantha, my son Justin, my entire family here, my mom, dad, supporting me all these years, my sister, extended family. I work with a great group of people. They're all right here on this wall. Really good group to work with. Having come to work every day, working with this group, and there's really good things coming to this town, and I'm very, very proud to be part of it. I want to thank the mayor and council, Rob, our administrator, that you guys, it wouldn't be possible, obviously. I want to thank former chief Nasto, he's here. He looks like he might spend some time in the islands. He hired me, he gave me a shot, and he knew me since I was a young kid, and I really appreciate that. And then former chief Rossbeck, obviously, he put me in this place today and made things go into gear with the promotional process. And then lastly, Chief Reiner, if you ever drove with your family to Florida or South Carolina or somewhere, you're in the car for 12 hours, you get to know somebody real well. Well, Scott trained me. We were in the car for 12 hours for nights on end. So we got to know each other real quick, even though we didn't know each other before meeting. And, he found out a lot about me. I found out a lot about him. I learned a lot, and I'm thankful for him and everything he taught me and giving me this opportunity. So thanks again for everyone that's come, and I look forward to seeing you around town.
Before anyone moves, I have just something that I need to read out. Congratulations. Okay. I wish I could be there in person to celebrate the well-deserved promotions of Captain Harry Murtha and Sergeant Travis Soden. These two police officers represent the best any community could ask for to serve and protect them. Congratulations to you both on your new positions, and I send all my best wishes to the entire Atlantic Highlands Police Department. Sincerely, former Helen Marchetti, Mayor Helen Marchetti. She will be turning 97 on April 7th. She's up at Care One, King James. There's going to be a celebration for her at 12:30 on the 7th, and if anyone would like to go and wish her a happy 97th, please contact the Borough Hall, and we will forward that to Barbara. So thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations, thank you. Harry.
That was nice of you.
Okay, yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Good. Yeah.
Everyone's leaving. No. Ha, boo boo. He's locking eyes. Yeah, that hat is so cute. Yeah, so dapper. And he's leaving the hat on. My kids, my grandkids, is like, no way. Not happening. Still rebooting? Oh.
I know.
I'm
But it's emptied out. What is that? Just say, is this champion night? Right.
9 o'clock. I had 9 o'clock.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The new one?
So now we're going to be moving on to unfinished business. Resolution 64-2022, authorizing execution of MOU for Chief Scott Reiner.
Murphy, second.
Discussion?
Nope.
Okay, here we go. And so, roll call.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
Ms. Weinleitner.
Absolutely.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mr. Barakia.
Yes.
Resolution 64-2022 has been approved.
Thank you. So now we are moving on to public comment on agenda items only. Is there anyone on the Zoom?
No, Mayor. No hands raised.
Okay. Is there anyone?
Mm-hmm.
I have a question as to where the playground equipment and the resolution is going to be. What? Many, many, Mike
Park.
Many, many, Avenue Park. Okay. Okay. So I see no hands, so we will move on. Consent agenda. These items will be enacted by one motion. If detailed deliberation is desired on any item, council may remove that item from the consent agenda and consider it separately. Resolution 69, amending Resolution 14-2022 for appointments. Resolution 70-2022, certification of the compliance EEOC. Resolution 71, authorizing electrical contract to install live stream equipment. Resolution 72, authorizing extension of emergency temporary outdoor dining. Resolution 73, transfer of funds. Resolution 74, authorizing state contract purchase the playground equipment. Resolution 75, authorizing state contract purchase of site work and restoration. Resolution 76, payment of bills, $264,651.85. I need a motion and a second.
Murphy.
Crowley.
Any discussion?
Just a couple quick things, nothing major. On 72, I think there's just like a little typo that there's not a space between, I think it's between emergency and temporary on the resolution, so it's just like a little thing. I meant
okay.
To say that before, but we're doing the Zoom.
Okay.
And then on the playground equipment, so there's two choices on there, color. One, it says it's blue, and then the other is, I think, the dome. Are you picking the colors? I didn't color.
So I will not pick colors.
Okay.
After the purchase and the site work is authorized, we will work with the contractor to go through a typical shop drawing review phase, and I can bring that back to the mayor and council if desired.
No, I don't want to pick colors. I just noticed a couple outstanding things. And just for the public, that this park, Main Avenue Park, has some elements that are sensory friendly for kids of learning differences. So
right.
That was prioritized by the committee.
Yep. And Mayor, I actually have a question on Resolution 72, more or less for the council as well. In the future, would we ever want to consider making that a permanent thing? I mean, it seems to work really well.
I think that would have to go through on the zoning.
That'd be a zone thing? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you have to change your ordinance.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So maybe that would be a discussion mm-hmm. we could have later on.
And I'll just add, in terms of 71, we did four bids. The top one came in at $7,000. The lowest was at $2,300. I have nominated, I put forward the one that was at $25. Plus, there's $200 for a ballast system in the library. So $2,500 for this. I'll get into what you're seeing on the walls later for the committee report, but I felt that the one that was a couple hundred dollars more was more thorough. In the invoice, and by reputation, I felt that they could get the work done, you know, quickly.
So, thank you.
Related question. I'm happy to ask this later, but how soon do you anticipate the work can be completed?
So if we approve this tonight, next week, the live stream vendor, and when I say live stream vendor, I mean the folks that have the TVs, the camera, they'll come in and they'll hang the TV sets in here next week, mm-hmm. and the camera next week. I've not talked with the electrician, but the hope would be that they will come in the following week, because now they'll see exactly where everything's going, and they'll drop the lines that we need in the HDMI, the power, and all that stuff in 2 weeks' time. And then as soon as they're done, the live stream people will come back, make all the necessary connections, and we would effectively be up and running. That said, as I said to somebody tonight, I forget who, we'll have to have some training sessions, because again, this is not only for mayor and council, but I had the court clerk in here today. They're very excited because the system we're going with interfaces nicely with the jail system. So side benefit to all of this, I was going to get into this later, but I'll just say it now. Side benefit to all of this going live stream is that the town actually saves money, because we won't necessarily have to transport people that are in the jail system here for the hearing. They can do it remote. And so our system will interface with the jail system. And that was all by design. But in theory, up and running in 3 weeks, dependent upon the electrician, their availability, and then training sessions for everybody. Because also we'll make it available to planning board if they want to do this.
Perfect.
County, our clerk system, and of course, mayor and council.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
I can't wait. I really can't. So we had a motion, second discussion.
Crowley moves.
Yep. And now roll call.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
Ms. Weinleitner.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mr. Barakia.
Yes.
Items on the consent agenda have passed.
Thank you. Now, resolution 77-2022. Approved. This is just an introduction for the 2022 budget. So I need a.
I'll move it.
I'll second. Murphy.
I left your chance.
I left that for you. I didn't know.
It's fine. Don't worry, I'll cover it more later.
Discussion. Once again, this is just an introduction. There'll be what day is it?
April 28th.
April 28th. Thank you. Okay. So, roll call.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
Ms. Weinleitner.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mr. Barakia.
Yes.
Resolution 77-2022 has been approved.
Thank you. Okay, now, Councilman Murphy. Report.
He's got here quickly, didn't he? I feel like we're moving along pretty well. We will start with DPW. Bulk pickup for zones 2 and 3 will be next Saturday, April 2nd. For other dates, please go to the website to find out where your zone is and when you're getting picked up. Reminder, all paper and cardboard that is out for recycling must be flattened and tied in bundles or in a large box. We will be giving out the Department of Public Works will be giving out warnings shortly. Reminder, the week of March 30th, there is no residential recycling, as it is the fifth Wednesday. The next zone-by-zone scheduled brush pickup is not starting until April. Please check the calendar or your zone for pickup. It can also be dropped off at the yard Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. Hydrant flushing, everyone's favorite, is scheduled for April 18th through April 22nd. Please make sure that you are mining these dates and these times and not using your water at night or flushing from the lowest point if you see brown wood. DPW was directed to update and provide new line striping in the municipal harbor by the borough administrator. Many of you may have noticed that done. It looks great. Please refer to the borough calendar for all schedules and borough information. Any issues, please call Jimmy Phillips at 848-444-0067. I see Councilman Bonds is not here, so nothing much for police, although a well-deserved congratulations for Harry and Travis once again. As far as recreation, our next meeting is April 14th. Basketball has ended. Congratulations to all the children who had a great time and a very
warm thank you for all that were part of that program. It was a very successful season and a lot of fun by all. Our Easter egg hunt will commence April 10th at Fireman's Field at 12 p.m. Please come on out and enjoy that.
Correction. It is scheduled to end at 12 p.m. It starts a little earlier.
In the email that I was given, it was started at 12, but we'll get back to you with that correction if necessary. We're starting to look at camp directors. We did increase that salary to $5,000. If anybody's interested, please notify the borough. And there were dates for summer basketball and summer camp that were decided, and those will be released at the next meeting. Not much for Atlantic Highland, not much for the first aid. Budget was proposed and introduced. That's still going through some corrections. Within that budget, there was a new stipend program for incentives for calls made. What else? The Atlantic Highlands First Aid Task Force met last night via Zoom. Councilman Doherty and I were on that call, along with Councilman Bombs. A lot of that was just a much discussion, right, about the squad, how it operates, and some suggestions were kicked around as to how we can help improve the squad, and those will be delivered probably next month. We do meet on the fourth Wednesday, it was decided, of every month. And lastly, actually, Atlantic Highlands, do you have something for the fire department? No, all I have for the fire department is that the new engine committee has met 5 times. Everything is going well with that. And the next meeting will be March 28th. And stand by for more. And that's it for me, Mayor.
Councilman, I'm sorry. I am wrong. I was reading, we need to show up at 11 a.m. The Easter egg hunt on the 10th starts at noon. But everybody's encouraged to try to get there on time because once the eggs are gone, the eggs are gone.
Yeah.
They go quickly.
They're gone. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Councilwoman Holmleitner?
Sure. So, as you know, we just did the first introduction of the budget. There definitely will be some adjustments that we have requested to be made in the meeting. I think some highlights of that discussion were just talking about, and I know the Water and Sewer Department especially have been very proactively putting their long-term planning for what needs to be done and improvements, but Mr. Phillips has done an amazing job putting, he's here, so I'm going to compliment him, putting together the budget. All departments really did their best to keep us as close to last year as possible, but there are some improvements that need to be done, and we need to be responsible stewarding our infrastructure and other aspects of programming. So there'll be a few adjustments, and when we have the workshop, we'll have our CFOs here to really go through any questions that the public might have and that the council might have. And I don't know if they want to keep talking over there, or I can stop.
Sorry about that.
In terms of the harbor, our next meeting is Tuesday, so that's there's not a lot of updating on that right now because we've reported on it. And Mr. Brock could add to that if there's anything he's got. We are having a film fest. I meant to report that at the last meeting, so that's exciting to have a real film fest. Open Space and Shade Tree, I think I'll give a little bit of a combined report. But I do have a statement here for Shade Tree after I give the Green Team report. So the Shade Tree will be having an Arbor Day contest. It's going to be not done within Atlantic Highlands Elementary School, but be really inclusive of everybody who lives in Atlantic Highlands. So we're working with Morgan Spicer and the Arts Council to have a couple workshops where the kids can actually do their posters in a setting where we have an artist that's going to help them develop their plans, and we're really excited about that. And at the same time, we'll be judging last year's submissions because of COVID. We had to put that on hold. So, and thanks to Ms. O'Dwyer for helping to put together the presentations that we'll be sharing virtually so that all of town can see all of the great work the kids are doing. Green Team met this week. We're on deadline. So if you hear from any of the Green Team members, and I'll give you the names at the end, please respond quickly because Sustainable New Jersey's priority mission this year is to recertify the Sustainable Jersey certification for the borough by December 2022. The last certification was conducted 4 years ago in 2018, and Atlantic Highlands earned bronze status, earning 165 points across 15 different action items. So this year we can recertify at the bronze level quite easily, but we're aspiring to achieve silver level, which requires more than double the effort of achieving bronze. And it's a lot of work, but we can do it. We'll need to earn 350 points in order to do this. The good news is, and this is Ms. O'Dwyer, I'm reading her words, so thank you for putting this together, that over the past 4 years and across the municipal committees and commissions, as well as our DPW, EMS, and borough administration, we've initiated a number of programs and have many achievements that can be recognized in the Sustainable New Jersey's certification program towards certification points. We need to memorialize our achievements and enter our current programs and initiatives with Sustainable New Jersey. So it's a matter of documenting what we're doing. This is a paperwork intensive process, and our green team will be reaching out to the groups mentioned to help us with this effort. For example, we have an Arbor Day seedling giveaway every year. Ms. Livingston.
I know.
So happy to see you.
I know. From
the Shakespeare Commission, we would need to show how we advertise the event, how many, and what species of trees are distributed. I know Mr. Harmon, Mayor Harmon's here. He was there for that. More complicated projects will have to provide support documentation, such as the stormwater ordinance that was passed and flood maps, or the work the Environmental Commission is doing on EV charging stations, which would include work estimates and vendor proposals. All of this is happening. Green Team has identified 36 new action items like these that we, the borough, have already initiated or completed that can be recognized in the program. They're asking for everyone's collaboration and help in our application, as it's going to require proof documents and drafting of summary statements and otherwise a lot of paperwork. We can always recertify a bronze, but so much work has been done in the last 4 years that Atlantic Highlands deserves to get credit for them and achieve silver. So let's do it. We have a May 22nd deadline for our initial submission. If you hear from one of us, and this, I'll give you a list. These are all people you should not be ignoring. Ellen O'Dwyer, Sarah Colasurdo, Ellen Bollinger, Morgan Spicer, Jim Krause, Ken Grasso, Borough Administrator Rob, myself. All of us, please help us make this happen. We're really excited about it. And thank you.
Thanks.
Right. Now I've got to find your email with this.
I know.
So we are really thrilled.
I think it was through...
What day was it?
A couple days ago.
Yeah, let Mr. Dougherty go and I'll find and read that statement.
So all right.
See, I have his change feed category, so once I get there, you may have found it, so I'll just punch.
Excellent. Go ahead.
Play theater. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Mayor. I have nothing to add to Councilman Murphy's report on last evening's discussion. It was very interesting just to get the context and some of the history. We have a large task ahead of us, but I think it's an excellent group, and we have a lot to talk about. Planning Board. Planning Board has not met since our last council meeting. The next meeting will be held in person in this space on Thursday, April 7th at 7 p.m. And to reiterate, the Planning Board remains enthusiastic about the hybrid approach, so we're looking forward to the new system. Environmental Commission held a hybrid meeting on Tuesday, March 22nd, this past Tuesday. Meeting began with a presentation by Samantha LaRocca, who's the NJ AmeriCorps Watershed Ambassador, who gave a presentation to the Commission on Jersey-Friendly Yards, or jerseyyards.com, which has quite a few interactive and informative tools on ways to make your home more ecologically friendly, from rain gardens and rain barrels and native plant species and pollinator-friendly plants. It's really interesting. You can do a makeshift. You can add things to an interactive house and see how it would look, so to design your yard that way. So check that out. The EC, led by Lenape Woods steward Morgan Spicer, will be undertaking a project to paint the kiosks in Lenape Woods. And the EC unanimously passed a resolution, Atlantic Highlands Environmental Commission Resolution 2022-02, encouraging the acquisition of electric vehicle charging stations. I won't take the time now to read the entire resolution here, but in summary, now therefore be it resolved, the Atlantic Highlands Environmental Commission encourages the borough to pursue the acquisition of electric vehicle charging stations in an economical manner and with the support of grants made available by state, federal, and other entities for this purpose. Last thing on Environmental Commission, registration remains open for the Clean Ocean Action Beach Suite on April 9th. Please register at cleanoceanaction.org. Sign up and join us.
Okay.
Shade Tree.
The Atlantic Highlands Shade Tree Commission is honored to announce that Atlantic Highlands has been named a Tree City USA community for the 41st year.
Yay!
And we'll have a proclamation at our April 28th meeting that will enter into the record as well. There are only about 10 towns in New Jersey with 40 years or more, so we're really...
That's awesome.
We're awesome. Tree City USA program is sponsored by the Arbor Day Foundation in partnership with the U.S. Forest Service and National Association of State Foresters. Atlantic Highlands achieved Tree City USA recognition by meeting the program's core requirements. a tree board or department, a tree care ordinance, an annual community forestry budget of at least $2 per capita, and an Arbor Day observance and proclamation. Trees are assets to a community when properly planted and maintained. They help to improve the visual appeal of the neighborhood, increase property values, reduce home cooling costs, remove air pollutants, and provide wildlife habitat, among many other benefits. Many thanks go to Bill Thorne for his continued dedication in achieving this annual, this yearly designation. So that's really great.
Thank you.
I just want to give a special shout out to Mr. Phillips, who has really helped also steward this program, mm-hmm. so it doesn't fall under his. He does a lot to help us maintain this designation, so thank you.
What doesn't Jim do? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Billy does a lot.
Sure.
Okay.
And then lastly, for Parking Committee, the Parking Committee met on Thursday, March 17th. I will defer to Councilman Crowley for the report, that mayor, and smart report.
Okay, thank you. So, segue.
There we go.
Right, there you go.
Thank you, Mayor. Councilman Murphy already mentioned the Easter egg hunt. I'll just mention again, Recreation is going to be sponsoring the music festival. It'll probably be at the end of August. I've already gotten four bands that have written in, some really good bands, Motown, a little Bruce Springsteen, some salsa, so some good variety there. Still looking for other bands, so if you're listening tonight or you're here and you've got somebody that you'd like to recommend for to perform, I think we'll only have five slots available. It'll be a shorter music festival, probably from 5 to 10, but please point them in my direction or towards the Recreation Committee's email, and they'll forward it off to me. And that'll be free for any resident here in Atlantic Highlands and down at the marina, so mm-hmm. it should be a lot of fun. Parking Committee. So one of the things that we looked at, and I think we've already initiated with Mr. Fisher and Mr. Phillips' help, is that the C Street parking lot, there's a large gate that connects two of the gravel lots. We had a discussion with C Street about closing that gate and adding four more spots down there, but creating another gate. So I think net gain is two spots, Mark? And it's still, you know, car friendly, so cars will be able to pass. But, you know, look, the Parking Committee is just always on the hunt for wherever we can increase a parking space. So mm-hmm. if there's a net gain of two down there, all the better. Mm-hmm. C Street website has amended their website to not include the Holly Tree lot for parking for commuters, so that is still available, you know, for our residents. I gave information to Borough Administrator Mr. Farragina about the firms that come recommended in terms of doing a traffic study. So if council is so moved, we can put out an RFP, get some quotes for a traffic study, which you all heard about during the parking structure workshop. I think the Parking Committee now, I should also say at our last meeting we talked about can we use the shuttle down at the marina. We'll reach out to Harbor Master Flieger to see can we use the shuttle that the borough owns during the summer months, the warmer months, to be able to shuttle people. And Councilwoman Homeliner, Councilman Brockett, we'll also include you in that discussion, obviously. Is that something that's available to us to be able to ferry people from our business district, historic business district, central business district, during the summer when people are dining, to be able to utilize the parking? Sure, people can walk. That's a 10-minute walk for most people. For people that aren't because they're disabled or maybe just maybe they just don't feel like walking, but if we can promote, you know, shuttle and get five or six people on it and lower our carbon emission footprint by doing a shuttle down there. We also talked about the possibility of hiring a company, not hiring, but contracting a company to come in with pedicabs. And that also sort of a visual marquee for people, like, you know, you can get back and mm-hmm. forth down in the marina and just make people aware of the fact that there is parking down in the marina. So if you're out of parking here on First Avenue, that's an option that's available to you. And it's just sort of fun and adds to the you know, the vibrancy of the summer months. Did mention this to the chief. He doesn't see a problem with it. But again, before we move forward, make that recommendation formally to council. You can see if that's something you'd like to do mm-hmm. if you're interested. And we would look at this as no cost to the borough. It'd be, you know, whatever the going rate is to hire the pedicab and do that. Or maybe it's a tour around, mm-hmm. Dan Hennessy and back around, you know, just as something fun and sort of inviting for town. I guess the committee is now looking to council to recommend what you think the next steps are for the parking committee. We feel like we've identified most of the places where we can increase parking. We did run into a sort of a speed bump with Wells Fargo. I don't know if we said that last week or 2 weeks ago. But Wells Fargo has a new general manager. The general manager is not keen to the idea, unlike his predecessor or her predecessor, to allowing us to park at Wells Fargo after hours. And I don't think that the church parking lot is, I think that's a non-starter. So we're looking for, you know, next steps from mayor and council of what you'd like us to do on the committee in regard to a traffic study, in regard to a parking structure. The ideas, you know, that we'll make formalized with the shuttle to, from the marina or pedicab, what have you. But yeah, we're looking for next steps from council, some direction. Moving on, tech. I think I covered most of what's going on. I will say this, I'd like some direction from council either now or after hours. You can drop me a line. But if you look up on the walls, you'll see four red squares and you'll see four yellow or lime squares. The red squares represent where a 55-inch monitor would go, one on that side, one on this side. And the yellow represents a 65-inch monitor. I would recommend the 65-inch monitor because I think when we get into, if somebody has a budget or if we're on planning board and somebody has a line drawing, if we're in court and there's evidence, you'll have a better image. You'll be able to see it better. This monitor would be flat against the wall, although it could tilt 5 degrees if we have a reflection issue. This monitor over here, I'd like to put on a bracket so that we can cant it out a little bit more for the benefit of the people that are here in Borough Hall. Although wherever you're sitting tonight, you can look and you can obviously see where the monitors are. But I wanted to try to make that a little user-friendly, more user-friendly. That will stick out about 4.5 inches from the wall. This one, you know, it's pretty flush up against the wall.
Cameras going?
So the cameras, so where you see the post-its on that plaster over there, that is the Robo camera with the zoom. So you'll have a nice image if you're the judge or your mayor and council or your planning board. You can get a wide or you can zoom in on any individual if they're speaking, making a point. Above this TV monitor, there is a sound bar, and that's how we'll hear the people calling in from Zoom. But there's also a small camera. So we'll have a lock box over where Michelle is sitting, and in that box, available to planning board, to the clerk with the court system, and for mayor and council is an iPad on a stand, and it has presets. So if you want a close-up on the mayor, or you want a close-up on the judge, or you want a close-up on the witness, or you want to go a wide shot, you just tap on the screen, the presets are all there. Again, it'll have to be a learning process, and we'll have workshops, and I can schedule more than one. I can schedule two or three so that anybody that's dealing with the equipment can handle it and learn how to call into Zoom, how to move the camera, so on and so forth. But this camera will shoot anybody that's at this table. We'll get them in a profile shot, but you'll be able to see if there's a defendant or a plaintiff or somebody's giving a workshop, you'll be able to see that. I'm feeling like I'm forgetting one thing that I want to move on.
The soundboard's going to be up there.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, Michelle will be getting her notes or whatever's going to be recorded, right?
Not recorded. Similar to the fix that we have right now, this system, every microphone that you see in here is wired into the system. So if you're at home, you'll hear directly into these microphones.
Oh, okay.
So it's clean audio.
Okay.
And that's part of what goes into why we won't have the reverb.
Okay.
There are ways to defeat that system, but you know, 99% of the time we're not going to have reverb. And we have the one speaker in here for the public when they're calling in remotely.
And that's going to be for us here.
That's for us and for Michelle and for the court system. This system is designed, I think I said when we originally voted on our invoice, for the approval of the 11.5, was it ties in with the Liberty recording system. Liberty is, there's three different systems in the state that are authorized to be used by, especially by our court system. And so it still interfaces with the Liberty, so we don't have to change software. And it's all still legal by the state standards. So the court is very excited about it. The court is also, as I said earlier, very excited because now that this system also ties in with the system that's used by our jail system, it means that some of our prisoners, or I should say the defendants, that are coming before the judge won't have to be shuttled here. Mm-hmm. They can just get be taken by the deputies in front of the camera while they're in their facility in Freehold or wherever. So there's some savings to the town. I will say that I think our live stream is going to come in a couple hundred dollars less than what the invoice was because I had budgeted for an even larger monitor. But can I just get an idea, a sense that everybody here is okay with the 65-inch monitor?
I think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's... and I will just say this, that I think from now on, based on the notes we got 2 weeks ago from the public, I would like to take one of these microphones, maybe modify it, buy a stand with the money that we're coming in under on the invoice, and I'd like to place a microphone there at the gate. And when somebody wants to make a comment from the public, it's just sort of the new way of doing it so that we get better audio, that anybody coming up will just approach the mic like it was for years in many other places, or is still in effect. But
John, the microphone above.
I'm not. We can try it, Councilman. But I just think with the complaints that we got, I need to look in the booth here and see if maybe I can boost it a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to be as clear as if I'm standing like this, everybody can hear me. If they're moving the proximity of the mic closer to the speaker, it'll be better for everybody at home for their experience. So
great. That's
it. Did I say earlier next week we can get them to install the TVs?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hopefully the week after electrical, I hope, and then just a week after to finish it up.
Nice.
Last comment really is I'll defer to Councilman Brockie about regionalization. We have not met again this month. We've had two formal meetings. One was to stand down and wait until the folks up at Hudson School had made their report, but I think that there was another meeting that was held earlier this week about funding formula, so I'll defer to you. Mm-hmm.
Sure, thank you. Just a quick word on finance. For now, just want to say each department worked very hard in putting together the budget, working with the borough administrator, took them several months, very judicious. And on this budget, nobody was asked to cut back or, handed their budget back and say cut. Everybody got what they wanted. And I think that's really important because, as much as we can, we need to provide what people need, what they need, and to extent what they want, and as long as we can afford it. Mind you, many of the department heads have worked for the borough many years. They really know their equipment. They know how to maintain it. They know when it's up for service, the end of its useful life, and that's really played into it. And because of that, we've had a nice budget once again. In that respect, we're just lucky. But we're also lucky for another reason. And when I was flying, we used to always say, I'd rather be lucky than good any day, right? Well, then this year we were pretty lucky too, because we wouldn't have been able to have had a flat budget, but for the American Rescue Fund and the forgiveness at the harbor on the Sandy loan, so that helped us too. So, to be fair, we did get some help. The nice thing is past administrations have been pretty good at, their finance, and they're taking care of the budget and not overspending and leaving us with a bunch of debt. And so we're still looking at a lot of debt falling off. And I think as we do that, we discuss having a capital plan so we can start working on things that we want as opposed to things that we need. And we'll be able to do it with minimal impact to taxpayers. And so I'm pretty happy that, the last 5 years, last 6 years, five of them, we've had no I want to say no tax increase because it was flat, because depending on property tax appeals and things, sometimes it changes slightly, and you can say, yeah, there's a hair of an increase, but we've done pretty good. As far as the harbor goes, finances are looking very good. We're about 15% year over year. We're off on fuel sales, but then again, you look at the weather and look at the high price of fuel, it's no wonder nobody's going out and filling their boat up with, $5-6 gasoline. We did lose another head boat. We talked about that. We might have talked about that at the last meeting, and we just discussed it at Harbor. And so
there's an opportunity to try to offset that revenue and maybe put in 12 additional moorings at the harbor. So I'm looking into that now. We're going to bring in, it's right now, it's a very nascent stage of that, and I'm going to bring it up at the next harbor meeting. But that would help offset a lot of that if we can do it. It would be done without any cost for the borough. I want to move on quick to the Cannabis Committee. We've got the basic framework for an ordinance ready. Mr. Krause has done a lot of work on that, especially in the past week. So I'd like to, what I'm going to do is get on the phone and email and call for a meeting in the next week or two where we just iron it out and really hammer it out.
And you're not going to be here on the 14th, right?
No, I will be. Yeah. It was the 23rd is when.
Okay.
I was 24th. I was going to be out.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, so I'm going to be around.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely. And as Mr. Crowley said, regionalization, he and I have been talking a lot about this. We share a lot of, you know, common thoughts on it. And me, as a finance chair for the town, I requested a meeting with some of the other towns just to talk about the funding formula. So our plan is to give the public all the information that they need to make a decision. We're not making a decision. We're putting this together and trying to get you the most information we can so you can make a sound decision. And we discussed actually moving the formula. The formula basically provides for savings for the Highlands and Atlantic Highlands, and also Seabright. And Seabright's a bit of a misnomer because they're still spending a lot of money. But they're also spending a lot less money with regionalization. So they're going to save some money, and that is going to help us. And so the Mayor of Highlands and the group, when we discussed, we decided we're going to try to work this formula out where we save equal amounts. And we offset any potential unknowns, and that's really the key. You know, we want to have enough buffer in there, so if there are some unknowns, we're still ahead of the game. It's all yet to be determined. There's some other thoughts that we have, and it's a long time in the making. So Ms. White is going to update us at the next meeting a little more details as the committee chairman.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
The only thing I would ask is when we do other breakouts, aside from Ms. Weimer and Ms. White, who have been identified as representatives for those breakout meetings, mm-hmm. we have other breakout meetings just to notify the members that there is a meeting that's happening so that we're not, we're all on the same page.
The last meeting was, Steve, for finance.
I understand. I just think for the committee members, just mm-hmm. let us know before the meeting happens. Mm-hmm. Be a good, good way of operating.
Okay.
The intentions were good.
Mm-hmm. You done?
I am done. Yeah,
okay.
Sorry.
All right. Thank you so much. Administrator's report, we'll go with and professionals. Do you want to go first?
Okay. I can go first.
Okay.
All right. Just a few items here. The first item is the American flags at Borough Hall have been lowered to half staff until sunset March 27th per President Biden's request in honor of former U.S. Secretary of State Madeleine Albright. Next item. Earlier this week, an RFP was posted for a professional planner relative to the Mother Teresa property. Next item. Mourning bunting was installed in front of the exterior of Borough Hall in remembrance and in honor of former Mayor Pete Donahue. Moving forward, these mourning buntings will be hung whenever an elected official or former elected official passes away. Next item. I conducted a thorough walkthrough of the west side of the Borough Harbor property with Harbor Master Lou Flieger and DPW Director Jimmy Phillips. Authorized several immediate action items such as the repainting of all parking space lines, bathroom signage, pothole repairs, and general spruce up of the area. Last item. The borough was awarded the Central Jersey Health Insurance Fund Wellness Grant in the amount of $9,500. That's it.
Great. All right. Thank you. Doug?
Thank you, Mayor. With the passing of resolutions 74 and 75, I will reach out to the contractor tomorrow, make them aware of the authorizations, and work with them to get a schedule, and I'll be able to report back on a demolition and construction schedule shortly. My team is continuing to work on the Egyptes permits. We're okay in terms of submission deadlines when your current permit expires, and we're also working on your MS4 permit and I don't see an issue meeting that resubmission deadline. We do have upcoming with regards to the municipal roads, the DOT 2021 grant has an award deadline coming up this fall, so I've been working along with your administrator, Public Works, HFA, to identify available budget and prioritize the roads. So hopefully we'll be able to bring a proposed road program to the council for consideration shortly.
Okay.
Thank you.
No report tonight, Mayor.
Thank you. Before moving on, I just have something that I'd like to read out here. Dear Chief Reiner and Mayor and Council, on behalf of myself and my entire family, I would like to praise and thank the entire Atlantic Highlands Police Department for having as much heart and kindness as they have professionalism, expertise, and kindness. Members of this department went above and beyond in making the funeral of my husband, Bernie, not only so very organized and professional, but also comforting and personally so helpful to me. The police officers did everything from carrying Bernie to St. Agnes Church for the viewing to serving as his pallbearers the day of the funeral and his burial at Bayview Cemetery. Our police department always made arrangements with other law enforcement agencies to provide what was necessary for the traffic situation and needs en route from St. Agnes through the Yacht Harbor, past our Shore Casino, and across Route 36 to the cemetery. The officers also provided assistance at the cemetery itself. Captain Murtha coordinated so many activities for the department with concern and professionalism, and we are truly grateful. Could you please convey the deepest thanks and appreciation of Bernie's family and friends to all the officers of this police department for all they did for us at such a sad time in our lives? Please let them know they made this most difficult time much easier to bear. Gratefully, Kathleen Sweeney. And I'll give this to them and they can post it downstairs. All right. Now we're moving on to public comments. You know, I guess we've been doing Zoom for so long, everyone pretty much knows how to do that. We'll go to the Zoom comments and then, yeah.
No hands raised.
Open up to the public.
Wow. Okay. Yes.
My name is Brendan Cena, 49 East Lincoln Avenue, and I'm a member of the Atlantic Highlands Board of Education, and I'm here representing everyone from that board, and I'd like to read your statement in regards to regionalization. The Board of Education of Atlantic Highlands Elementary, Highlands Elementary, and Henry Hudson Regional would like to update the community regarding the school district's dedication to investigation school regionalization. As it is our position that the schools should lead the investigation into school regionalization rather than the municipalities. The schools have been working diligently to stay up to date on state and local developments while moving forward with a state-funded regionalization study. Here are some facts demonstrating the school's commitment to exploring regionalization. The three schools applied for in May of 2020 were awarded a $65,000 Local Efficiency Achievement Program grant, or LEAP grant, from the state of New Jersey to investigate two possibilities: the feasibility of consolidating our three schools into one district, and the feasibility of consolidating our three schools plus neighboring districts into one district. Over the summer and fall of 2021, the school district moved forward with the blueprint, including receiving and approving proposals from experts in four areas: a legal analysis, demographic analysis, facilities analysis, and educational assessments and financial analysis. In January of 22, contracts with the following experts were signed and their work began: the Bush Law Group legal analysis, Ross Haber Associates demographic study, SSP Architects, Facilities, Physical Plant Analysis, and Keene University, educational assessment, and educational finance analysis. The school districts anticipate that all experts will complete their analysis by May of 22, giving the school time to make recommendations regarding what is in the best interest for the school and town communities. We believe it is critically important to wait for the LEAP study to be completed to ensure that we fully understand the recommendation of the experts regarding whether and in what form regionalization might best meet the needs of the school and town communities. While the three schools already have many shared services, we look forward to sharing even more services to further align curriculum, programming, and opportunities for students and to ensure fiscal responsibility and greater efficiencies in school operations. Community members who have questions or concerns about regionalization or the LEAP grant should contact Tri-District Superintendent Dr. Tara Beans, who is best suited to answer questions at this time. We also welcome community members to attend our respective school board meetings and council members to be affected as well, and where updates on regionalization have and will continue to be shared on a regular basis. Our next board meeting is Tuesday, April 26th at 7 p.m. at the AHES meeting, and we look forward to seeing you in the next session.
Thank you. May I keep a copy of that for records?
I'll send it over to you.
Okay. Is that okay?
Is that okay if I have...
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
I think it's important to note that other studies that have been done by a law firm, a single law firm. This report that the school is going to be putting out, whether it's May or April, I think Dr. Bean said that they were trying to accelerate to get it to us in April. When you hear what you've just said,
March and April, she said end of March.
End of March,
April.
Could be April.
Okay. But we're also waiting for the legislation to
be finished.
Okay.
Yeah, there's still lots of I's, I's and T's that haven't been dotted. But what I was going to say is that what is impressive to me is the number of organizations and experts that you're bringing into this report that specialize in each of these areas. It's going to be a very thoughtful report. I'm very confident of that. Mm-hmm. And that's why our group publicly has said that we were going to stand down until we hear from your report. And I know some people are agitating to get this thing on for a resolution and to get it on the ballot. The deadline for that, The deadline for that is the middle of August. So when you finish this report, we still have time. For anybody, whether it's Seabright or Highlands or this community, to move forward with a resolution before that date, before your report is released, is foolhardy. And it's not the thorough and thoughtful way of approaching things. There is not a rush. We can wait for your report to be done. You promised it. Dr. Beams has promised it sometime in April. And even if it pushes to May, worst case scenario, that's still 10 weeks for us to be able to get something passed if we wanted to move that way. But of course, you know my position, which is I think three school boards who are elected officials have the best interests mm-hmm. of our children in mind, and also have the most information on what direction to take. So if this report, which has not changed from the first one, still doesn't make sense, and the school boards are going to make a statement after this report is released, then I'm confident that you're making the right decision. We'll review it. Mm-hmm. That we have a right to do that, but I do trust my elected officials mm-hmm. on the boards. So thank you for making that statement.
My concern is that Dr. Beams did tell us March, April, and now it's May. I just, like Councilman Crowley said, we need this information by August 14th. Bottom line, we are all here for the same purpose, is to for the kids and for the taxpayers, and we all want a referendum so everyone in this town and Highlands and Seabright can vote. They'll be able to vote, so it will be up to them, not up to us here. So that's what I just said. Thank you.
I would disagree when we say we all want a referendum. If a plan is bad and flawed, then there's no sense in throwing good money, $25,000 towards a referendum if it's a bad plan.
We're just going to have to put the facts out there and let them make their decision.
Well,
I think that everybody in this town have the opportunity to have the facts told to them, research it, and then go on and vote.
I agree that the facts should be out there,
yep,
but we have elected officials in each of these three different boards of education. I trust them. They are elected officials to make that decision. There is no law in the book of the states of New Jersey that says that a municipality, that a mayor and council, should be superseding what the boards of education should be.
Declan, then Gopal.
Okay. All right. Bottom line is we're going to wait, we're going to get the report, we're going to take a look at it, look at the facts, and I know I'm not making any decisions on it.
You're
not supposed to.
We're out there fact-finding.
When it comes, and we'll look at the recommendations, and everyone will look at them. It'll be public, and that'll be a good thing. And we'll decide what to do as a group.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to congratulate everyone up here. I think passing the virtual meetings thing is amazing. I feel very heard as a member of the public, and you guys did a really good job. I can't wait until it's all behind us, so I know it's a little contentious in the room at the moment, but I feel like this is something really worthy of celebration, and thanks so much for following through on that. About the penny pads and the parking structure, I was all very gung-ho behind the negative parking structure, but after talking to some business owners in town and Councilman Crowley about penny pads, I think there's a huge opportunity there, specifically on Sixth Street. I think the station of Highlands and the bring people from Highlands over to Land Highlands on the weekends. I know that when I lived in New York City and I would just settle for a weekend, just like being around nature was my first shattering thing. And so I can imagine people from the city landing in Highlands, taking the path of Loud, taking the penny pad along that path, getting to Land Highlands. Kind of reminds me of Walt Disney when he was designing Disneyland. He wanted people to either have to take a boat or a tram to get to the park, so it really had some kind of magical feel to it. And so I feel like that's a lot of what Atlantic Islands is. It has so much magic to it. So the idea of someone coming from out of state and having to take a boat and then say, get to us, could really, you know, help us. So that's a good idea. I love it. And thank you so much for working on that. For those owners who came up with the idea of the penny cabs, I hope that just talked about more. And also, it goes to human infrastructure. So instead of building infrastructure, we're actually going to be hiring humans to do things for us. And I think that kind of money being spent on people who live here who want jobs might be better use of our money than infrastructure. And finally, is it fair to assume that maybe on April 13th we might have something on the agenda for Kansas?
We're going to meet. We're going to put it together. And if we can, we will. I don't want to promise because we have to get together.
Mr. Krause is out of the country for 2 weeks, so he's an integral part of this. So that is probably the gating factor.
Yeah.
He's in Tunisia. So he'll be back in Florida. He's there now for 2 weeks.
Okay. All right. Thank you, guys.
Mr. Fisher.
You're all getting in the habit. This is great.
Well, it's inevitable. Testing, whatnot. Let's start off with just
name
a reminder.
Name and address.
May 4th is the single-use plastics law kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
Was there something that we were supposed to do?
No, we don't have to do anything before then. We have to repeal our ordinance.
Okay.
That's my recommendation. The state law supersedes local ordinance. It says it, you know, right in the law, but I think it's a good practice when that happens to just repeal the ordinance so no one's confused. We don't have to do it before then.
Okay.
That's something that's definitely on our agenda.
Right. Yeah, that's the very last line, I think.
Yeah.
So way back when Adam Ubany was the administrator, he brought up the subject probably a month before he left of potentially putting the St. Agnes property back on the tax rolls since it's no longer a Catholic.
I can talk about that.
Yeah, I will defer to the to the borough attorney.
I discussed it with the tax assessor and Mr. Hubie before he left.
and the ultimate recommendation that I, well, I can, I guess I can say in public, you know, it's what we talked about in private, that's fine. I recommended no change in what the current status is based upon my review of all, with the law and all the facts and the blocks and lots and how it's separated out.
So it's still...
It's not on the no tax change. Rolls. So I... Yeah, so the... The way that the lots are divided up, the school and the community center, I believe, are on one lot, and the church is on another lot. Is that right? Mm-hmm. So...
Well, it's across the street.
Yeah, but the community center is on... That's like the same... Isn't it the same tax lot?
I believe so. I believe what's in question is on the same block as
right.
the community center.
Yeah. Yeah. Community, that's right. So it's been a while. But the community center and the school are on the same tax lot. And that was the issue that we reviewed together. And without talking about the specifics of what we discussed and the legal aspects of it, the fact that they're on the same lot, even though one is not operational and the other is. So that was a big consideration.
So are there any lots behind the school and the test center?
I don't know.
Are there ones again, Mark?
Lots.
Behind what?
I mean,
I think it's on one.
The school property and the Dana house and the Hester, mm-hmm. there's a huge piece mm-hmm. of property. Yeah. But it may not only be one lot.
Correct.
It could be five lots.
Yeah.
The school and the Hester center might be one, but are there other lots involved with the property?
Gosh, I don't remember.
I'm sure we can look into that.
Yeah.
Mr. Fisher, get back to you.
I would, if it's possible, put it on the tax rolls. The subject of the sustainable New Jersey, the wayfinding, like signage, the parking, and all that stuff, that's part of it?
Yeah.
Wow, we can consider this the parking committee. So actually, Sarah Colasurdo brought that up at our last meeting or the meeting before. But if there's any other things that Sustainable Jersey or the Parking Committee can do toward that, I know there's probably not a whole lot, but anything we can do, we need to know.
Don't worry, McGuire is taking notes and signing you up for things as we speak.
Okay, I have a thumbs up. Thank you. The EV chargers is great. Should we have a fundraiser for that in town? Think people would contribute money? Is that legal?
You can accept donated property. But
I'm not sure if it's legal or not.
Background.
That's more of a.
Do you want to donate sort of EV charge to Tesla?
It's a matter of who can collect the money and then contribute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes towns will start a 501c3.
Right, so we have a special events committee.
You have a separate account.
Which I believe could accept donated funds and then donate.
I could also tell you that I think the issue with the EVs is less monetary and it's more procedural and technical. What I mean by that is they're very expensive items that, for the most part, most municipalities in the state of New Jersey fund through awarded grants. I think that's the norm. In addition to that, the technical aspect is really the hurdle to overcome having them physically installed. The technical aspect includes locations that are predetermined and or pre-recommended, locations that have existing electrical support, locations that are already well lit with proper lighting, and then other components go into consideration when planning, such as if it's in an existing parking space, proper signage, reallocating the parking space from open vehicles, meaning vehicles that are gas operated, to only EV vehicles, painting a decal on the road, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really less about getting funding for it and more about having an outlet to write those grant applications, which we do. That's already been taken care of. A lot of work went into it. I'm from Councilman Doherty here. With some input and assistance from my office. So I think it's a good idea, and if the borough wanted to engage in fundraising, that's fine, but I think it's really I don't think it's necessary.
I heard that the average EV charging space costs over $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
It could.
It depends on the type of charging, too. You know, there's level one, level two, level three. Level three is the fast charging, 20 to 30 minutes. Those can approach $100,000, but it all depends. It certainly depends on existing electricity and access to electricity, and we're working through all of those technical aspects.
Yeah. So a question to both of you gentlemen is, in your conversations, are we at the point where we might look to CME to look to seek a grant for the purchase of the system, and also to identify where it might be? I know some people have talked about the marina, but maybe the marina, when we have a storm event, is not the right place. Maybe the municipal parking lot is the better. Have we directed the engineers to look at where would be an acceptable place for charging? Right.
So in this particular situation, in terms of looking for sources for EVs, grants in that avenue, Mr. Dougherty and his team have selected a third-party entity to engage in those grants. So in this particular situation, CME would not be involved unless we would be tapping into them for some existing knowledge pertaining to the borough and specific locations and what have you. Typically, the way the grant process works is municipalities will work with their existing engineering firm for any grants that are associated with infrastructure, roads, bridges, tunnels, waterways, streetscaping, etc. We as a borough have two engineering firms, because we have a harbor that has a separate engineering firm, Mr. Bucko, and then mm-hmm. the borough proper has CME with Doug. And those entities would be the entities we would reach out to for anything infrastructure related. In this particular case, like I said, we're going a different avenue because it is more appropriate to go that way. And then there are obviously tertiary and peripheral grants that municipalities seek out on a regular basis, which are smaller grants, not associated with infrastructure. Those grants, you know, $5,000, $20,000 grants, small grants, which are usually done in-house, right, because of costing. You're not going to pay, for example, $3,000 for a $10,000 grant. So if you're not awarded it, that's a large expense to a municipality. Those type of grants are usually written internally by a certified grant writer in-house. So I don't know if that answers the question.
Yeah, it does. I'm assuming that the third-party grant writer specializes in this area.
I'll tell you a little bit about them. So the company is called Flow, and they are the company that's working in New York City proper to bring charging stations throughout Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens. But we are under no obligation to use this company if we were to be awarded these grants. We go out for an RFP, as I understand it, and we take quotes from other companies. But this is a company that specializes in municipalities. They've been very responsive, very thorough. And also, I want to give lots of credit to Environmental Commission Chairman Blake Deacon, who knows this topic like mm-hmm. Like no one I've ever met. And he
comes next.
Absolutely, but he is very knowledgeable on the topic. Has been engaging with these companies through his chairmanship of EC, and Rose Lenoff, the business manager of Flow, has been a really terrific and responsive partner so far. So I'm happy to share more. If anyone's interested, please get in touch with me or get in touch with Blake, and we'd both be happy to answer questions. But we're underway in terms of applying for grants, and there's lots of money out there, so we're trying to take advantage of that before we miss the boat, so to speak.
Thank you. JCP&L has no grants for EV chargers.
They do not. Yeah, PSE&G and Atlantic County. Yes. So if we could somehow encourage them to.
Last question that may lead to another. The regionalization committee meetings, Mr. Senator, would they fall under the open public meetings at definition of an executive session?
Yeah, it's not a public body.
Okay, so then that leads to the next question. Why can't we have open meetings of that committee? Every other board, commission, and committee in this borough meets openly.
That's not true. They just had a first aid committee meeting. It's an ad hoc. So it wasn't open to the public. It's a ad hoc committee.
could be open to the public. They're not discussing anything life-changing.
No. But most ad hoc meetings are not.
Okay, I didn't know the regionalization committee was an ad hoc.
It is.
Yeah, it's not set established by ordinance.
It's not like your environmental or your shade tree or recreation or anything like that.
Yeah, but it could be held in public, right?
It's not.
There's nothing to hide. It would be like a workshop type of thing where, you know, the committee would meet and talk and discuss. Because, you know what, like, how late was your meeting last night?
After 9.
Yeah, we ended at 9.
2 hours.
Yeah, it was 2 hours. So, it delays the process sometimes. But, you know what, if it was a workshop, absolutely.
So, just back to my original question, it could be an open meeting, an open public meeting. But why was it designated not to be? This is an important story.
You know what? This has been going on way before I was mayor. And there was an ad hoc committee. Okay. So, you know what? It was just set up that way, and I just did the process that was already set in place.
So if the transcripts are available, the recordings are available.
And should be.
The chairwoman is available for any questions. Wouldn't it just be easier to have it in public?
Well, it depends on where the meetings are held. Sometimes the meetings could be held over in Highlands if we're meeting with them, or Seabright, or maybe hopefully up at Henry Hudson. You know, so, you know, it's where the meetings are and who's going to be there. And some are on Zoom with the senators.
Even better.
So, but here's a perfect example. The senators, Declan O'Scanlan, Senator Declan, said only 2 people to go to move on to that type of committee. I don't.
Could say hold a meeting in the seat committee or have them as an executive board.
It's an ad hoc committee. Yeah. I don't.
I sort of view that as like a breakout group.
Right. It's
not a quorum.
Yeah, it's not.
Body.
But it's not even, it's just the people that are on the committee itself.
The meeting of the 2 people, by the way, just to clarify,
it's a breakout.
Yeah. That's not a regular occurrence. It's every once in a while to facilitate.
But it's his committee.
It's his committee. It'd be helpful to reiterate the purpose of the committee.
The entire purpose of the
ad hoc committee is to make a recommendation, right?
That's not what we were told.
We're to give information.
We were told we're going to provide facts.
Yeah.
They said that I misspoke.
It's to provide information. To the
provide public, information. Right? Yeah. It's not to make a recommendation. Yeah. It's to provide facts.
And to encourage courage.
Yeah. It was time to be courageous. That's what.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I think the idea is for efficiency is why there's not open to the public. I would assume it's just to keep things moving so we can bring those facts to the public.
So ridiculous.
Sorry that you feel that way, but I believe that is
the intention. It's going to go to the public.
Correct.
Okay. And the idea, I think, is to get it to the public sooner, and that's why maybe
it would be sooner. It would be immediate.
You'll get your facts soon, I'm sure.
Well, right now, we're waiting for Henry Hudson and their process to go through. So there's really not much to be said until that time.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
No hands.
Wait. Hello.
Show us your new address.
Come on up here. Come on up.
Your address.
We miss you, Kate.
I miss you guys. January 2020.
I know.
Are you going to ask about Mother Teresa tonight?
I have Kate Williamson, 37 Glenmary Avenue.
Oh.
In Middletown.
Oh. That's okay.
I want to congratulate you guys on 41 years of shade tree.
Mm-hmm.
Saving fabulous. And also to compliment you on promoting the police officers. I work with a lot of them. They have a really good department here, and they would do a fabulous job.
Mm-hmm.
And our next question is, who makes the decision about a property being a background of tax rolls?
Tax assessor.
tax assessor. And on petition of somebody or anybody or what?
In her own, she's the policymaker on that, so she would, in her own determination. If you have a question about a particular property, you can reach out to the tax assessor.
Okay. Yes. How many what's the names we're talking about? So even if it was the same block, even if it was a different lot, even if it was, you could always bifurcate the Hess building from the, because that's
like do a subdivision. Yeah, I have to go before planning. Yeah.
Okay. So that's used and it's used for also for profit sometimes too.
Yeah.
Right. So
last time I looked at this issue was in 2021, and the facts that were presented at the time were that the community center or the Hatch Center is used for community purposes and for church purposes. Mm-hmm. So that's the fact.
And for profit sometimes too.
What's that?
Well, they'll rent it out for like the borough when we do recreation camp.
That doesn't affect.
Or
whatever.
Or parties or whatever.
No.
Maybe no not. Party. Maybe not so surprisingly, this is not the first time it's happened where a church, part of a church property, is not used for what it once was used for. And these kinds of things have actually gone to tax court, and there's a whole legal process that the tax judges will consider when those types of things come before them. But you know, without saying what I said to talk about with the former administrator and tax assessor. In a privileged context, you know, the information that was given at the time was that it was still the parish center, Hess Center, was still being used for church purposes in addition to other things. So,
but isn't the exempt process the church and the others just for in addition to it?
Not necessarily.
The statute says that the church is the exempt part, and all the rest follow. You know what? It might even make move a little bit faster if you propose passing it. You know? Somebody's got to move on it, so.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kate.
Yep.
Paul Barredo at 22 Lowry Road. The last meeting, there was a little conversation about having cannabis for votes in the town. And I asked council what the policy and how to get that initiated. And it was told to me to contact Monmouth County. But, and I did it. And I spoke to the special, Ms. Ritchie, Julie Ritchie. And she's the administrator of special elections, and she said, well, I'm going to contact Ms. Clark. So she did. So I didn't have a long conversation with Michelle, but there are some residents who would like to have this board up for a vote for the, when the election comes. I know that, again, they discussed August 19th was the time that all the paperwork and everything would have to be done. So I'd like to ask Ms. Clark.
Nope. Yep, director.
I would just like to say that I would like to have a conference or a meeting with Ms. Clark so we can know what needs to be done.
I can answer. So. Okay. I know that you contacted the clerk. I spoke to Mrs. Clark this week about it. So not every, you know, there are many different forms of government in New Jersey for municipal governments. Some municipal governments allow citizens referendums. Some don't. The borough form of government that we have here does not allow citizen referendum. It has to be initiated by the governing body. So yeah, I'm sure the governing body will consider it. Can you know, consider your comment, but you know, it would have to come from the governing body.
Okay. Well, I'd like the governing body to consider that.
Okay. If we're requesting referendums for other things, can we lump all that cost together if that was ever something that we wanted to consider?
I don't know the logistics of it, but you know, legally speaking,
Two for the price of one.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just asked because.
I think as the elected body of the Borough of Atlantic Highlands, that there are some decisions that we're not going to have a referendum for everything. You elected us. You can unelect us in the next election. I'm up next year, so I may or may not be running. But I think at some point, the public's going to have to be comfortable with people who have been voted by the. In pretty much every case, the overwhelming majority of the residents. So I appreciate that you are making this request, and I'm happy to discuss this with you further, but I think let's think about what level does it have to be for it to be something that we have an additional vote.
Well, does it have to go through and what it is? Do you
we have to pass an ordinance. Yeah. We have an opportunity for public comment at that meeting. And we've never, this council especially, has never tried to suppress the votes or the voices of the residents on this.
I'm not saying you did, you are, but people have asked me,
People, but that's anecdotal, that's
okay, not myself, I'm asking what the process is, if it was anyone.
And I think you can pull.
Okay, so, I'd appreciate that.
This has been a really transparent process, Mr. Barbato, and you've been in attendance, we've had experts come, we plan to have experts come.
Yeah.
I'm reacting because I feel like at some point, the loudest voices in the room are the ones who are disproportionately heard. And so I want to be sure that every voice is heard.
Of course.
As they come to this, it's important to them.
Right. That's why I would think it would be only fair to have it.
Everybody in this town is invited to make public comment at every single meeting.
Okay. Well, I'm.
And there's no time limit.
Well, this is just every time I'm up here. It's not like I'm bothered.
I know. No.
But I just want to say, Mr. Perugia, Marty is still looking for the ballots, and he's coming up next week. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right. Councilwoman, no hands. What was the vote ratio in November with the approval of marijuana in this town?
Atlantic Highlands exceeded the state by, it was 73% in Atlantic Highlands.
Yeah, thank you.
Is there anyone else? Okay. Any hands raised at this time?
No hands.
Okay. Any hands?
No hands.
Okay.
I'm going to adjourn.
Okay. There you go. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, everyone.
Good night.
Who said 8:45?
No.
Wow. You guys surprised me.
Oh, thank you.